Blog Talk Radio.
The sign in the window said for sale or trade on the last remaining dinosaur.
Okay, let me call for my issue. I have my guest on the line. Hello, Justin.
How you doing?
Hey, how you doing, my friend? How are you this evening?
I'm doing pretty good. Just trying to keep up with these 316 games.
How's your body doing with the spring training?
Body's been pretty good. Arm's pretty healthy. Just trying to, you know, get through these long days of spring training that you're not used to when it comes to season time.
I really appreciate you coming on because of how difficult it is right now, finding time with spring training, with baseball, with everything that's going on. I'm sure there's a lot of media opportunities right now going on as well. So I thank you for coming on. You are Justin Fitzgerald. You are a pitcher. You're in the minor league system right now, but I'm sure we'll see you in the majors soon, and you'll find your way in my fantasy team as well. Very soon. That's when you really know you made it.
Tell
us a little bit more about yourself, how you got introduced into baseball, because everybody has a different story. We'd like to know yours.
Yeah, I grew up in a small town, Cloverdale, California, up in Northern California, about a couple hours north of San Francisco. Went to high school, Cardinal Newman High School in Santa Rosa. Played basketball and baseball there. Chose D1 baseball over Division II basketball coming out of high school. Ended up going to UC Davis, which is about 15 minutes outside of Sacramento. I played 4 years there. I ended up redshirting my sophomore year there through an injury. Came back pretty good as a redshirt junior. I set school records in all-time saves in a single season. Took our team to our first ever NCAA regional with the rest of the squad there, and was drafted by the San Francisco Giants in the 11th round of the 2008 draft, and I am now looking forward to hopefully a season in Double-A Richmond this year.
Wonderful. Now, it's a long ride up to get to the show, as they call it, obviously the major leagues, and there's a lot that goes into it. In your situation right now, with you doing so well, coming in so strong, your last season was the best season. As I was looking at your stats, you did really well, strikeout-wise, win-wise, everything. You just really found your comfort zone. What do you think is the hardest thing about doing what you do? And forget even getting to the majors right now, but even in the minor leagues, because people really underestimate the talent that's in there as well.
Yeah, I mean, you just got to keep staying healthy is the biggest thing throughout the minor leagues. I'm not an extremely high draft pick, so I got to go out and prove each year that, you know, I can stay healthy, I can log innings, I can put up numbers, and I can move up steadily, you know, just throughout the system because, you know, injury can derail a career, especially if you're a guy trying to, you know, fight for a spot and, you know, prove to somebody that you're worth something as a right-handed pitcher. You know, there's a plethora of right-handed pitching throughout the minor leagues and major leagues. So you just got to go in each year and every year and, you know, pick up something new that you learned from the year before. Like, you know, last year was, you know, working on a sinker that I picked up and just added to the repertoire as a starter for my, you know, being a starter for the first time in my career. And, you know, working out at a place called Fisher Sports in Phoenix here actually helped me a ton. Working out with major league guys, you know, just kind of learning, you know, the ropes with that and learned a lot there. And now this year is working on a changeup to add to the repertoire. So as I move up a level and, you know, keep hitters off balance and just go out there and stay healthy.
Mm-hmm. Now, is the changeup the pitch you're falling in love with right now?
Yeah, that's definitely a pitch that I've thrown a lot this spring training. I've worked on a lot this offseason. Worked with some of the pitching coaches with the Giants as far as just arm speed with it, grip, just, you know, location, and how I should throw it because I've never really been a changeup guy, and I know that's a huge pitch as you move up. It's going to keep hitters off your fastball, and it's something that will definitely help me out this year.
Wonderful. Now, is the mental aspect the biggest from going from a closer to a starter? Because forget the fact that you, literally, as you mentioned before, you have to change your whole repertoire, but there's a lot of people that can go from a starter to a closer because they just have that good of stuff, and that's why a lot of people didn't understand the whole Jarvis Chamberlain situation with the Yankees. But there's few people that can go from closer to starter, as they're trying to do with as Papelbon tried to do, and or they're still trying to, I guess, make them do. Natalie Feliz is in the works with that. What do you think is the biggest mindset difference?
The mindset difference is completely different. As a closer, you can come in, you can get away with only having two pitches that day. You come in kind of a, you know, nails kind of attitude, no one's going to hit me, you know, tough SOB type mentality. You can come in there, you can blow, you know, 93, 95, you know, get away with a fastball up, You know, bury a slider, get a guy to swing, and you know, you only need those two pitches for the day, and kind of get just kind of get away with stuff. You know, your stuff. As a starter, you have to have that mentality. You're going to see a you know a lineup probably 2 to 3 times, so you're going to have to you know go out there and have a plan. You know, you're not going to pitch this guy the same way every single time because you know they'll catch on to that. So you got to really learn how to pitch. One thing that did help me though as a starter was I took that closer mentality into a situation. I'd have second and third and one out, and I take that bottom of the ninth closer mentality into that situation, and you know try to bear down. And you know I feel like I was pretty successful at you know limiting damage. You know, as a starter in middle innings and, you know, making myself, you know, able to go farther and deeper into games.
Mm-hmm. Now, what does Justin Fitzgerald have to do to make it to the next couple of steps? Because there's only so few Albert Pujols and those that know his history. He never played double A or triple A. He went from single A all the way to a 330 hitter in the majors. That's just freakish. Most people aren't like that, and you mentioned your resume is a little bit different because you were drafted a little bit later on than most people. So the hype isn't really there, but that doesn't mean the stuff isn't, because we've seen a lot of people drafted late. Mike Piazza was drafted really late. Some that weren't drafted at all, and they made it big. What do you have to do to prove to people that you just need to – is it more just getting yourself out there in front of the management and ingratiating yourself there, or are you just pitching, and be in the gym all day?
I mean, I've proven in the past that, you know, I can – bring the velocity when I need to. I've proven this past that I can throw 3 off-speed pitches for strikes. So I think I just need to carry that in from last year into this year, that I can throw all 4 of my pitches for strikes. I can bump it up to a 94 or 95 if I have to. I can sit low 90s with my 2-seam and my 4-seam if I have to. And then also, you know, go out and put up the numbers that, you know, are similar to last year. I feel like if I, you know, do that this year, as I did last year in San Jose, I feel like I'm going to put myself in a pretty good position, being my protection year, et cetera, and just go out there, you know, let things, you know, happen. I can't control, you know, what's going to happen start to start. I can only, you know, prevent and go out and, you know, have a game plan and, you know, execute it. I'm not going to worry about whether they're going to move me. I'm not going to worry about whether they're going to protect me. That doesn't mean anything to me. My game 1, April 7th, 2011 is what matters, so. You know, I'm going to take that mentality in each and every start and, you know, just work off it there from start to start, you know, let everything fall into place and, you know, good things will happen if I keep working hard and keep putting in the dedication.
Absolutely. Now, is that the hardest thing for you, just staying focused? Because the winter is really tough on a lot of players. Some keep playing. Some just really genuinely need the rest. And you, as a pitcher, you ice your arm every time you pitch. You just stretch in between, do whatever you need to do. You go to the gym. But there's only so much you can do because you can't shake people's hand with your right hand, or you can't give them a pound with the right hand the whole time, because you got to, that's your bread and butter, that's your future, that's your moneymaker. Now, how do you, in the off season, how do you stay sharp, how do you stay focused? I know some people chop wood, for example. What do you do?
Well, first and foremost, once the season's over, I try to just get away from, you know, even touching a baseball for at least, you know, a month and a half to 2 months. I usually don't pick up a baseball until December 1st, but you know, I'll watch the playoffs and here and there, and then I just kind of try to separate my mind from it and just give it a break. I mean, seasons are long. It's a mental toughness, mental grind. So kind of just get away from it. And then when it comes December time, you know, I'm working out, you know, in the gym and whatnot in November. But for the most part, once December hits, it's full grind for me. I start playing catch, you know, lightly, increase the workload with lifting weights, you know, lower upper body. Obviously, doing nothing strenuous in the upper body to affect my arm, but just trying to, you know, keep myself in shape the best I can. So when it comes season time, I have the stamina to, you know, finish a game in the 7th, 8th, and 9th innings, you know, when the time comes, and you know, just kind of stay on a basic program. I've done the same thing for the past 2 years now. I've worked out at Fisher Sports here in Phoenix. I live here in Scottsdale now. I moved from Northern California, so I just do that, you know. Daily grind, 4 days a week. I'm in the weight room. Wednesday is a rejuvenation day. Try to get some yoga in, stay flexible, and just, you know, keep my body in the best shape possible.
Mm-hmm. Now, don't let my girlfriend hear you say you get to put some yoga in, because she's been trying to get me to do that, and I keep pushing it off. But if I was a baseball player, maybe I consider it. So
yeah,
you got to do
whatever
you got to do.
Definitely helped me a lot with being flexible.
It's definitely different. It's a different lifestyle, obviously, too, because, like I was mentioning before, your whole life has to focus around making sure your arm is good, because if it's a carpenter, it's your hand. If it's a nutrition, it's your hand. If it's a person doing analytics at a company, it's their brain. So they got to keep it sharp, focused, eat a lot of Snickers, whatever they got to do. On your off days, though, not even on the off season, but in season, what do you typically do? Because there's people like Roger Clemens, Roy Halladay, they're just freaks and they just work out day in, day out, and that's how I feel I would be. But what do? Do you just try to take some time away from the mental strain, or do you keep going, keep pressing?
No, I mean, the easiest day of my week is the day I pitch. I mean, get on the mound on every fifth day. You know, as Roger Clemens has said, he's like, that was my easiest day, and I hold true to that, too. You know, day after is a 25-minute run with, you know, core exercises and a full-body lift. And then the day after that, it's no lift. It's another probably 12 to 14 pulls, just kind of getting your, you know, cardio up, your heart rate up, and get a good sweat in. And then that third day is another light lift, of, you know, total body. It's probably more body weight stuff just to kind of get your body moving, you know, keep the body strong from your workout the three days before that. And then the day before is just probably, you know, like I throw tomorrow in my spring training game. So I did 800-yard sprints. So it's more of a, you know, power-based, you know, running the day before rather than the long distance and you know, getting out the lactic acids in your muscles.
Mm-hmm. Now, if there's one person that you could pitch to right now in the major leagues, who would it be and what would you throw to them?
Oh, man. I wouldn't mind facing Tulowitzki or Longoria, kind of getting a rematch from when I was a freshman in college. They were batting 3-4 at Long Beach State, and one was, I think Tulo was a junior and Longoria was a sophomore. But I wouldn't mind getting a crack at those guys now, because I know as a freshman I didn't have the stuff to even compare to the type of player they were. And I'd like to think that I can go up and, you know, pitch against a guy like that and have the confidence to, you know, to get him out in a big situation.
So you're going right after. You're taking a bite right out of the Big Apple. And I envy that. I think a lot of people need that kind of gutsiness and that courageous attitude when you're on the mound, because a lot of people just start nibbling, start doing all that kind of stuff in their pitching, and that drives me nuts as a fan and drives me even crazier when, if I knew I had that kind of stuff, like some people do, they just throw strikes, just kind of pass them, do whatever you have to do, just stop nibbling. And that really drives me nuts. So if I were you, I would keep with that mentality. If there was a player in the past that you can pitch to, same question, well, who would it be and how would you approach them?
Oh, man, that's a tough one. But, I mean, you're going to say taking a bite out of the Big Apple. I mean, I would love to see Barry Bonds in the box as a guy I looked up to, a guy I, you know, watched growing up. I mean, I'm challenging him with that fastball. He hits a home run, I could care less, because I watched 768 of him or whatever he hit, you know, throughout his Giants and Pirates career. So to see him hit one off me, I wouldn't even mind it. So it would be kind of cool.
Yeah. Well, he probably could still be in the shape to play. He was playing for until he was 43 when he retired, 44, and he still wanted to play, but nobody signed him. But you could still hit a couple bombs off. Of some pitches right now, especially not Hideo Nomo, how far he wants to hit them. I think he hit number 71 off of him. So
yeah.
I'm sure he can still crank some off them. Now, last question, and once again with Justin Pitrell from the San Francisco Giants. You can check him out on Twitter. I don't think you have your own website, but people check you on Twitter at Twitter handle Justin Fitz, FITZ31, and watch him as he goes through his progression in the minors. And I could pretty much guarantee you'll be in a major sooner or later because of your bulldog mentality. But how does it feel knowing that you're in the farm system of a team that just won the championship? Does that add more pressure to you? Does that just make you more confident? How does that make you feel?
It doesn't add any pressure or anything like that. I mean, yeah, they have five set starters up there, and I'm a starter in their minor league system. But I'm just going to, you know, you go out and you do your thing individually. You go out start to start. You do what you can, and you know, if my calling's with the Giants and I end up, you know, pitching the big leagues with the Giants, then so be it. But there are 29 other teams out there that you play for and you showcase yourself for, because, you know, there's either trades, there's waiver pickups, you just never know. So you go out there, you perform not just for the Giants but for everyone else that's in baseball. And, you know, like I said, if it's my calling to play for the Giants, I'm going to grasp it with all my heart because, you know, they grew up watching them. You know, they've treated me extremely right and awesome since I've been in their system. You know, I have no complaints with anything they've done with me. They've been absolutely awesome front office has been, you know, absolutely, you know, just so helpful. But in the end, you know, playing for all 30 teams and, you know, let the journey take me where it is. And, you know, if I end up in San Francisco or I end up, you know, in Florida, you just never know. I'm going to, you know, give them my all and work my hardest and, you know, hopefully have a good big league career.
Well, you keep up that attitude and you'll be there sooner or later. And once again, like I said, if you end up on my fantasy team, you know you've made it. You might not know that you're on my team, but if you make it to the majors, I'll be sure to pick you up as I have a couple other guests. So, once again, I really appreciate you coming on. I'd like to have you on again later on in the year as it's not as crazy for you with playing and trying to do what you got to do. And just see how your progression is going, and I'll be watching your stats and seeing how you're doing. And you're not if you start nibbling, I'm not going to like you anymore. I'm not going to want to have you on.
Well, I look forward to talking to you again later in the summer.
All right, thank you so much once again for coming on, Justin Fitzgerald.
All right, take it easy.
Thank you.